You're listening to the Youth Critic Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG.
If the world you lived in.
If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network.
And the freedom you played in.
And now for the podcast.
Was suddenly taken away. Imagine if the only person who knew how you felt was a boy who felt it too.
You really like him, huh?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
In a world where beauty is held captive.
Miss your family?
It takes a special friend.
Really doesn't have a problem with me.
Yeah.
We appreciate each other.
Looks like Willie's got himself a soulmate.
To set you free.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Retrospectives. I am your host, Kale Smith. Joining me today is...
Justin Mayhew. Good afternoon, everyone.
And today we are going to be talking about Free Willy, since that came out a couple weeks ago, or when it...
It only came out a couple of weeks ago. I mean, Holy moly, man.
I mean, it came out a couple weeks ago, plus 25 years. yeah, it came... Actually, no, it came out on last... it celebrated its 25th birthday on the 16th, so that would be a Monday? So it celebrated its 25th birthday, 25th anniversary... Yeah, birthday
not
on
Not quite
Monday.
2 weeks ago, then.
Yeah, yeah, not quite. But you
this
get
is the anniversary
gist.
Weekend.
It is. It's the anniversary week of that. And yes, Hocus Pocus also shared... the release date, but we will. I think I'm gonna save that till Halloween. I'm gonna save that one for Halloween since that's more Halloween themed.
We'll save the Bette Midler fix.
Yes, that's correct. We will save that for later. But for now, we're just gonna talk about Free Willy for a little bit, and we'll go over the sequels because I mean, I saw the sequels a lot as a kid. I did not get the time to watch the sequels in order for this. Did you ever see them?
I only saw the first one, and only actually all the way through just this week.
Okay. All right. So I'll start by kind of telling my history with it. Mm-hmm. So Free Willy, I remember seeing the poster a lot when I was a...
You were a young lad.
Very young, like a... Maybe, what do we consider a toddler? 3-4 years old?
That's about the upper end of it, yeah.
Okay, like, you know, like close to kindergarten. Yeah.
When you're 5 or 6, you're more like a kid, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I used to watch a lot of those Warner Brothers kids movies because they also had the Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen movies.
Right,
the straight-to-video ones, like it Takes Two.
I've seen several of their movies. I cannot remember a single title of any of them.
Yeah.
I know that they were in Full House, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
That's where they broke out.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I saw trailers for Free Willy attached to those, you know, Blockbuster videos and whatnot. Or Hollywood also, because there was also a Hollywood video in Oakwood a long time ago, once upon a time. And so I remember, you know, seeing it and then watching those movies and watching the third one a lot more. Because I don't know why. I just remember watching the third one a lot more. I didn't see the first one until much later. But, I mean, and we'll get to the... Excuse me. We'll get into the, you know, sequels in a little bit. But, I mean, that's kind of my history with it is... I remember watching the third one a lot, which surprisingly was, like, it when it came out, it did, like... It literally bombed. Like, it literally was a bomb.
Really?
The third... Like, it only made, like, less than $10 million.
Yeah.
I would even maybe say I think it even made like less than $3 million or something. Like it came out in bomb just for that.
Right, because the first one they say was fairly successful.
Mm-hmm.
It grossed like $150 million.
Yeah, it grossed $153 million worldwide and did it, and you know, on a $20 million budget, which is pretty good.
By the third one, the mojo was gone.
Oh, yeah, and I was very surprised recently that I found out the sequel, which I do have an interesting story, but let me finish this. It's directed by Halloween 4 director Dwight H. Little.
Willy 3?
No, the second movie.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember who directed the third movie. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry, my friend. But, you know, it was. But I remember seeing that. I'm like, that dude's, like, known for, like, rebooting franchises. And dang it. And now I haven't even seen. I've only seen the second one once. And my story with the second one was I rented the video. I can't remember if it was from Hollywood Video or Blockbuster Video. But I rented the video. And halfway in, about, like, in the last 10 minutes of the movie, it cut, like, you know, it's a VHS tape. Like, it cut to, like, a Super Mario's game. So, my theory is someone accidentally recorded over the tape, like, their Super Mario game for, like, 5-10 minutes, and then right. just put it back in and didn't say anything. Or Warner Brothers fucked up with recording, transferring the footage to the video. I'm thinking more of the former, but
yeah, because I mean, to accidentally record over a rental tape, don't they have the tabs? You have to actually put a tab back in to be able to record on a commercially released videotape, don't you?
I think so.
And cassette tapes.
They
had to actually tamper with the video cassette to actually record. So maybe it's like an early example of rip rolling somebody.
Yeah, I think that might be, because I was sitting there watching it. My mother was like in the same room watching, and then it just, like, in the middle, it's a bonkers climax. Like, there's right. fucking explosions, a boat's exploding, there's like a fire ring. I mean,
everything gets blown up.
I mean, and maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I mean, I just remember, like, there
so
was.
So Michael Bay directed this, actually.
Apparently, maybe he did the second unit, probably. But, you know, it was just like a fucking bonkers, you know. Sorry, we're cursing on reviewing a kid's movie, but it was a bonkers movie. I mean, it was like a. And then cut to, looked like Donkey Kong or Super Mario graphics.
Right, right.
And I'm like, what the. What?
Yeah, you as a little kid, you said, what the fuck, right?
I was like...
You said, Ma, you spit the cigarette out of your mouth and say, what the fuck? You
know? Ma, get out of here!
Exactly. See, we don't mind the cursing on the show. We were all salty kids, weren't we?
Yeah. But yeah, I was just like... And then I fast-forwarded, and then everything was resolved by the end of it. So I missed the whole...
You missed the climax, the actual climactic scene.
Yeah. Uh-huh, the final confrontation between, I guess... poachers versus the killer whales, the orcas, I guess.
Did you actually ever find out what happened?
No.
You never did see that segment of the film?
No. I was planning on rewatching these two movies, but because, you know, the first one, kind of edging into it, like, it is not a bad movie.
It's not a great movie either.
No. But it's, getting into it, it's a charming movie.
It takes a long time to get started.
Oh, God, yes.
Man, we're half an hour in, and I'm kind of looking at my watch going, well, what's happening?
It's like Weekend at Bernie's
email or something.
It's like our last movie we reviewed.
I get into Weekend at Bernie's a lot easier than I do Willie, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's interesting. I have a similar reaction to the next movie we're going to talk about. We'll get to that in a minute. But
okay.
To Bernie's, but... There is a bit of a lag at the beginning. You know, there's a lot of exposition and backstory. This kid's a street kid. You know, he gets caught by the police and he's tagging. You know, he's got this youth affairs officer that's, you know, bullying him. And it's like, kid, you just need to run the fuck away to Los Angeles or something. You know?
Well, here's the thing about Jesse the character is that it's very typical 90s orphan kid.
It's Peter Pan, man.
Yeah.
You know, like the orphan, you know, and he wants to find Wonderland, and he does. He finds it in a Willy instead of...
Yeah.
He finds Wonderland in a Willy.
Yeah, it's very much like this orphan kid who is just on the streets for some fucking reason. Mm-hmm.
His mother ran away.
Well, I mean, it's like, even that, I mean, even the 90s, you know, there were still, like, there were foster home. You had to be in a foster home to be in, you know, if you were, you know, abandoned by your mother. You had to be either in in an orphanage or a foster home.
Well,
so
you know, he could run away, those kind of things.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. But still.
Anyway, it's kind of a there's a lot of force going on at the beginning of this movie, isn't there?
And there's and then the one thing that bothered me was at the beginning he's like, and look, I know he's trying to be the cool bad kid, but he's like vandalizing the whole thing while he's being chased by cops. I'm like, run. Why are you taking the time to vandalize this fish tank or this, you know, tank that you're at? Like,
yeah, I mean, otherwise you wouldn't meet Willie, would he?
Yeah, I mean, I guess to later, it's just a very lazy.
It's very, those are some coincidences.
Yeah. It's I don't know. I found the whole like opening just like cliched.
And if memory serves right, the back door to Willie's underground tank viewing area wasn't even locked. They just kind of walked in at 11 o'clock at night. So what's up with that? They tripped the silent alarm, but as memory serves, they just went right in the back door. You know?
Yeah, it's like they were hoping someone would come in and.
Well, that's it. Michael Ironsides is just trying to get the thing, the fish killed. Sorry. It's not a fish, people. But
yeah, it's a mammal. Yeah.
But anyway, Michael Ironsides is trying to get the fish killed. We're going to go.
Yeah. Maybe he was keeping it open so that one night, they would actually sneak in and break the thing.
Yeah.
But then the kids thwart the plan.
Oh, no. A vagrant has just come in and shit in the tank. Our orca has died of E. coli poisoning. What a shame.
What a shame. Where's that check now? I want to collect it. That was my thing. And then, of course, you have, Michael Madsen.
Michael Madsen is his foster father.
Who is a really good actor, but even then his lines are just like, I'm leasing this, okay?
Yeah, he and his wife, actress who played her.
I can pull it up. Come on. My thing is so slow. Jane Atkinson, I think. No, wait.
Annie Greenwood, is that?
I guess.
Jane Atkinson. Jane Atkinson. Her and Madsen both had a thankless job as the skulls and they're one minute they're nice and friendly, the next minute they're kind of cold and it's kind of they kind of run hot and cold, don't they? And then you also get, if from my perspective, Michael Madsen just a year before was in Pulp Fiction as Mr. Blonde, Vince Vega, cutting motherfuckers' ears off.
Yeah,
and now he's supposed to be the caring, warm foster father with baseball cards and such, And,
hey.
It's like, hey, man, watch out. This guy's going to cut your motherfucking ear off.
Yeah, that's the thing is that he is posing the whole way, intimidating, I should say. But I'm like, in Michael Madsen, can be a good actor, character actor.
I'm not complaining. I did really enjoy his performance in Quentin Tarantino movies.
Right, yeah. But I thought here he was like, he's just like given another. He's doing his best with a character that's very much like, cross the line, the list of things that, put
his character is a series of TV trope entries, right?
Yeah. And it's also, it feels very formulaic and also.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, he and Jane Atkinson both have quite a mechanical role to play in this movie.
Yeah. Well, they're just given, Jane Atkinson's just basically playing maternal character.
Yep.
Just be maternal, and then that's the job. Here's a check.
Then there's Michael Ironsides.
Who is also play villain that's not a sci-fi villain.
Right, and he really underplays it this time. I kept expecting him to start chewing scenery, and he never did get as, rabid. He should concentrate and blow somebody's head up,
Oh, yeah. Here's the thing about Michael Ironside is he's doing the thankless job of being subtle, but he's still chewing the scenery of evil.
Yeah. But in Scanners, what is the director of Scanners?
Cronenberg?
Yeah, Cronenberg. When he's working early Cronenberg, he shoots scenery quite a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, so So, I mean, Ironside is a villain. It's basically the corporate CEO that's just like, fuck it, I just want, like, money. Fuck it. Just give me all my money. Okay. Like, it's very, you know, it's fine, but then again, like, it's like every other character in this movie. They're just all here to play the role for this one message of, you know, animals should be free, which is a good message. I mean, that's what Blackfish, that documentary, that's right. What that was all about.
And Keiko was actually in real life
in captivity.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so there's some irony about the message of the film.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not like as blatantly bad as the Lorax, like how the execution of that.
Well, you're talking about the computer animated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's just terrible, terrible work all around.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know, since the Michael Myers Cat in the Hat adaptation, things have been kind of, you know, shitty.
I know.
Zeus world.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are looking at that Grinch reboot that with Benedict Cumberbatch. And I'm like, no. Every preview I've seen, which I don't see that many kids' movies, but every preview I've seen in that, I'm like, no.
Well, I have to say, I haven't seen the previews. I just imagine if they try to get Benedict Cumberbatch to do, like, the 66 version of the Grinch, the original cartoon,
it's not even, like, that menacing.
Yeah, that's going to be a disappointment because I keep going back to the Jim Carrey version of The Grinch, which was, oh my God, what a stinker that was.
At least Jim Carrey is intimidating.
Yeah, but it was a terrible movie, though.
Okay, sure. But at least as a child, I was afraid of Jim Carrey.
And then he goes opposite in Horton Hears a Who, where he becomes Horton and is a butterball again.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, we diverged.
We keep going on tangents. So, but Free Willy, like, so we get the start, and Jesse's pretty much a fucked up kid.
Oh yes.
I mean, look, abandonment issues will always fuck anyone over.
Yeah, his mom is not present. They don't explain it fully whether she just ran away, she needed a job, or she was a drug addict or whatever. They don't explain fully what happened to her, do they?
But I mean, it's very, very blatantly clear that she's not coming back. I mean, she's been gone for at least half of this kid's life, and you know, she's had no means of communicating with the agency to not even check up. So, and even by that, I think honestly, she gave up her rights anyway. So as a teenager for Jesse come by and be like, hey, I'm back, let's, you know, do this all over again, I think she would still. I think that ship has long sailed.
And so poor young Jesse has been left living pretty much homeless on the streets of Seattle.
Home to home, house to house.
Living on scraps thrown out by grunge artists and old coffee grounds.
Yeah. So, in this movie, so what do you think of the kid actor, Jason James Richard?
I've seen worse. I mean, he didn't annoy me as badly as some we've talked about this series.
It's not a terrible performance, but, and I think this also hinders the problem with the script too, is that there's just so many things, like the scene where Free Willy, or where Willy the whale is, you know, being like, everyone's around him, everyone's like clapping, slapping the tank,
right? That's maybe the best sequence out of the movie for me, is when Willy's having a freak out because of all the children in the tank viewing area, banging and smashing and pummeling the glass, because that sound is amplified into his poor head. And, you know, that seems like I could have a nightmare.
It is. It's nightmare fuel, but the kid doesn't act naturally to the situation because, yep. I don't know, it's like, even if you know what's going on, you're still going to be like, what's going on? Like, it's you have, like, you know, a marine biologist there, you know, she has no, you know, she has no idea what's happening. Right. Like,
how many aquariums have you been to? I've been to aquariums, and the docents are constantly telling people not to tap on the glass.
Yeah, there's like wording and signs to not touch the glass.
I've had people, you know, come up to small children who are touching the glass and scold them. So where's this guy? Right?
Yeah, where are the signs? And also, it's not like it's not like a legit stage fright. It's like, this is torture to this animal.
Yeah, no, this is awful. I mean, and I get the point of the scene, and the scene really does work because
it doesn't work naturally. It works well in execution. Well, it's how the characters are reacting.
Sure, and I see that's the one scene from the film that I actually remembered from before, caught a hold of glimpse of this movie before. I had none of the other stuff I had remembered.
Yeah.
Oh. That was the only part of the movie I actually remembered.
I always remember the ending, which it's
jumping over.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Well, we're spoiling the movie, but I mean, Jesse has been building up to for this whole first half, I know this How to Train Your Dragon came out before. Okay, we'll go with E.T. We'll go with that. He's been E.T.ing the shit out of Willy, mm-hmm. getting him to be friends and learning how to communicate, creating a friendship with this person or this whale, and
the bonding period really is.
And it's all well done. It's all smartly done. Instead of giving Willy this I guess tilapia fish or the equivalent of that, you just give him salmon, and then he'll do what he's told. He'll do.
And here the movie starts to actually move.
Oh yeah.
This is told in almost a montage kind of, quick cut.
Yeah, the movie finally moves because we get away. We're away from the whole
family drama.
Kind
of draggy.
Well, it's draggy, and also it just gets repetitive. Jesse acts out, then he becomes friends, and then he becomes friends with the people at the aquarium, and then something happens, and then he acts out again, and then again it's a repetitive cycle.
And Michael Madsen's character does come in handy. They actually utilize him when he's the one that helps them get the truck and the trailer out of the dirt road.
Right.
So his character actually does wind up doing something, for goodness sake, which I was happy to see.
Mm-hmm.
He helps them get Willy unstuck from the logging road that they were on. And I'll tell you, man, I would not want to drive that friggin' trailer. That would be a nightmare. Have you ever tried to put a boat into a lake? The trailer?
I've been with my grandparents to do that.
I've tried to do it myself. It's a lot of fun. We're talking a lot of fun.
You're being sarcastic, right? Yeah,
sarcasm, folks.
Yeah, it's just a big hassle. That's why you always want to just buy it or run out of spot in the docks. Just so you only have to do it once or twice a year, getting it in and getting it out.
So he rescues Willy, and Ironside is on the shore.
And he's got everybody. He's got the mob. He's got everybody.
What an ego show there, right?
What a big dig show, as I would say. Just I have stopped everything.
Yes, it's the dude's fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to get to the end real quick, and this is literally the most iconic part, the iconography of the whole film, is, Jesse, going out to the seabed. And he convinces Willy, or he somehow talks Willy into jumping over the bed into the ocean, and everyone's doing the Indian prayer, which was incorporated earlier, and
Schellenberg, August Schellenberg, the guy that plays the trainer that has all the Indian artifacts, he actually is part Native. But I wonder, is there an argument to be made that this is all kind of exploitative, of Indian culture? Is this a little superficial, maybe? I don't know. Be considered a cultural appropriation at all?
It is a little bit, but because, again, it's the natives, they're magicians, when really it's just a different kind of prayer thing. It's a different kind of religion that they have.
Right.
And so, it's a little bit look at this magician, this...
And you just want to walk a tight... There's a very delicate line you have to walk if you're a non-native person with, native characters can be an issue very quickly.
Right. And look, I'm happy to see him in here. Like, I'm glad to see August Schellenberg in here, because I mean, he really plays the wise sage role very, very well.
He's a mentor, and I think that's importantly too, that he kind of shows of another that Michael Madsen and August Schellenberg's characters both have like yin yang kind of father figure approaches,
right?
That they both mentor
mm-hmm.
young Jesse in differing but both yes. valid ways, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an important thing to think about in how they're constructing this film, you know.
Yeah, they're both helping him get through his trouble.
Yep.
Yeah, and I always like the character of Randolph in these movies, as because he's a wise sage, that he's basically our Obi-Wan Kenobi, that, you know, helps Jesse along and Jesse and Willie on his journey to, you know, to achieve their goals, to achieve their story goals. So, yeah. And then Free Willy, it ends with Michael Ironside just being irritated.
Whatever. All right.
I hate that whale. I'm like,
yeah.
Why did you get into this business? Why did you invest in the aquarium business? I mean, yes, SeaWorld, millions of people still go to SeaWorld a year, or thousands, maybe, I don't know.
I mean, they've been having troubles recently, haven't they, because of PR
Blackfish.
Issues?
Yeah. I mean, people still go to SeaWorld, but still, like, it just costs a fuck ton of money. And then you have to hire, almost, like, people with PhDs in marine biology to maintain the facility and, you know, have to hire engineers with their PhDs. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a multi-million dollar industry. Yeah. So why put all the money, well, if you're not even like that, like thrilled?
That is, you know, well, he's the bad guy.
Well, sure.
We've spoken to the fact that there's a little bit of a motivational gap in this movie anyway. You know, the characters just do. You know, there's not a whole heck of a lot of back to them. They do a lot of preamble and sort of backstory at the beginning, but the characters still don't seem to have much of a very deep background, even with all that, do they? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's very much, you know, they're just the corporate villains, and they don't care. Which
corporate villain and the corporate goons.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's perfectly fine in a movie. That's okay. And maybe even sometimes that's realistic of life. But still, it's like, in the back of my mind, you have to make it somehow plausible as to, like, why a character like this would invest any kind of money into a facility like this or into an amusement park like this. And I don't think they quite got it all together. So, overall, I think Free Willy is nice movie. It could have definitely used a Spielberg or a Richard Donner at the hand. Like,
it's something if you want and you have, say, not a toddler. You know, this is not like, you know, those freaky Teletubby things or nothing like that.
Oh, no.
But if you have an older child who's actually more interested in actually watching movies, I think they'd enjoy this. I don't think there's a lot of kids that would, you know, not mind watching Willy, I think.
Well, it's a fun movie for kids. Yeah. It's a kid empowerment movie, and also it's a good message for kids to take away. Like, get them already interested in, like, not only protecting the environment, but protecting sea life and nature and preserving all that. Because that's really what the message of all these movies are, is preserving.
So I think, you know, like a 10 or 12-year-old kid might probably dig this movie, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, in regards to the sequels,
which I have not seen, sorry, folks.
I'm pulling up the second one right now, because I don't even remember what I barely remember what the second one's about. So, according to IMDb, Jesse is a teenager who becomes reunited with Willie 2 years after the whales jump to freedom, as the teenager tries to rescue the killer whale and other orcas from an oil spill. Oh, so that's where the explosion must be coming from, is that there must be an oil spill in, like, the Pacific, because it's the Northwest. And they're trying to get everyone away from it before, like, a thing explodes. Maybe that's the premise. I can barely remember these.
Yeah. Apparently, according to Wikipedia, the most trustworthy place in the universe, Keiko did not actually appear in Willy 2.
Probably not.
It was a robot.
That sounds like an easier... Maybe they were trying Willy's to be easier.
Willy's played by a robotic double, while the Free Willy Keiko Foundation devised a plan to bring him to the Oregon Coast Aquarium, where he'd be rehabilitated for poor health. So apparently they had a stunt double.
A robotic double.
Now the question is that the Orca's version of a sex doll?
As I do the maybe, maybe with the hands up.
Who knows? Yes, the shrug emoji, right?
Shrug emoji.
The shrug emoji.
But yeah, and also this was a VHS where you can, like, they had infomercials to where you can send money to, like, provide, you know, more sustainable care for whales or whatnot. But yeah, so it's, I don't remember the second one too much. I remember, like, the climax being just bonkers insane. And maybe that's what that was. Maybe the oil spill, like, catches on fire and they have to stop. They have to get all the whales out of the way before it explodes, or before, like, it engulfs, like, this entire area.
So we're talking actually a very similar setup to that more recent. Was that Reese Witherspoon who was trying to get the whales out of the ice? The Orcas.
Oh, that was Drew Barrymore.
Was that Drew Barrymore?
Mm-hmm.
You know the one I'm talking about. So a similar kind of a rescue flick.
Yes.
Yeah. Free Willy 2, Emmett Walsh is in it, which I didn't know. I might be interested to see that, just because Emmett Walsh is supposed to be in it. He's as Bill Wilcox.
I will still rewatch Free Willy 2 because I did like what Dwight Little did for the Halloween franchise. Because I actually still like Halloween 4. I still really like it a lot. Like, it basically is what J.J. Abrams does now before J.J. Abrams. Which is just reboot everything. Just do a soft reboot on everything. Because, I mean, Halloween 4, it basically soft reboots the whole franchise. Now, unfortunately, the franchise has been soft rebooted multiple times.
Yes.
And it's being soft rebooted again this year. But still, I think Dwight Little was, like, the best at, like, soft rebooting the entire franchise so far. So, and then the third movie is, I remember as, it basically is a passing of the torch story, because it starts with, you know, we follow another kid who, we still have Jesse and Randolph and the other girl from the first movie, but, you know, but the other movie starts out as a father and son story, but the father is like a poacher who sells whales to, like, Japanese, you know, meat companies. And so he's like a illegal poacher that will, you know, come in and gather whales and sell them for food. And that's how he makes his living. And the kid, like, has, like, a moment at the end of the first act where, and this is all from memory from when I was 6 years old, he basically meets Willy and has that, you know, How to Train Your Dragon moment where Willy saves the kid, but then Willy is trapped or something. And then it's up to Jesse, Randolph, and other girl to basically come in and stop the father and son, stop the father poacher from, like, killing Willy and his family. So that's what the third movie is about. As far as I can remember. And I barely remember how it ends. So, apologies, everyone. I can barely remember these movies. I saw them all when I was a kid. But yeah. Do you have any more thoughts thoughts on the Three Willy franchise?
Again, only because of Wikipedia, but apparently the bad guy's ship in Willy 3 is named the Botany Bay, which is a name of a bay in Australia, which was named after, was it James Cook's? Yeah, James Cook's ship was the Botany Bay.
Mm-hmm.
In the 1770s and such, when he first came to Australia, they landed there, which is near Sydney. And so there's a bay in Australia named Botany Bay, and there's also a spaceship in Star Trek named the Botany Bay, which is the one that they imprisoned Khan on.
Oh, okay.
Khan was imprisoned in the cargo hold and the shuttles of the Botany Bay and marooned with supplies in the Botany Bay on the planet that I can't remember the name of. It was degrading.
Right.
Khan to Khan! Khan! So the Botany Bay was the ship that Khan had stolen, and then subsequently they exiled and marooned him with it.
Okay, cool.
And so Free Willy has is it a James Cook? Is it an Australia or is it a Star Trek reference?
Who knows? But yeah, the only other thing I can say about this franchise is it meant very well, because its message is very well-meaning. We got to protect the environment. We got to preserve, you know, wildlife. It's basically, you know, three movies saying the same message as Star Trek: The Voyage Home.
And also, I would say that being that I'm a Southern fried hippie myself,
uh-huh.
I may say this. But sometimes I feel this movie, as hippies, can get a little sanctimonious sometimes, a little overbearing, a little obvious in their messaging, you know. But
yeah,
hey, God love them. I am one, you know.
Yeah, I'm
either a Southern fried hippie or I'm a granola crunchy redneck. One of those two.
Yeah, I'll say this. I mean, these are kid movies. I hate saying that because
You keep saying that.
Yeah, I keep saying that because I want to think like that's the reason for keeping it so blatant, but and again, I think it's honestly just like we're working with like second or third class filmmakers here. We're not working with Spielberg or Richard Donner or any of that Amblin crew.
Right.
We're working with, you know, kind of the knockoffs, the 99-cent versions. And while these people did mean well, I mean, all these filmmakers all had the intention of, like, we got to save the whales. We got to, you know, they all end with, like, whales are beautiful. They're not, like, hideous monsters like the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park. They're not like that.
We always see them gallivanting to Michael Jackson songs.
Except for the third one.
But that's the other funny thing about when I watched, I finally sat down, and this last weekend, I watched the whole thing through. And at the end, they have the gorgeous, you know, nature photography of the orcas in the bay.
Yeah.
And the song starts playing. It's like, wow, this movie is really cheap. It's some, like, you know, guy trying to knock off Michael Jackson.
It is Michael Jackson.
Right. And then it goes, wait a minute, that is Michael Jackson.
Yeah. And and apparently he did a song for the second movie, but not the third one. And I don't know what they did for the third. And I saw these movies when I was like my cousin's age, my youngest cousin's age, and I don't even remember. Like, I barely remember the second one. That's how. And I just saw the first one like 2 weeks ago again. So, with that, I don't have any more to say on the Free Willy franchise. Do you?
So, if you want to have a babysitter, you want to put the kids in front of the TV and throw a Blu-ray or a DVD in, this is not a bad choice.
Yeah, it could work, and it's not like it's a safe family film if you're.
Right, there are, you know, trigger and content warning. There is some, you know, allusion to child abandonment, some substance abuse, and mild, like psychological child abuse. But
right,
you know, there is some, you know, adult content.
But it's nothing too heavy.
No, it's hinted at. There's never anything. They never fully on confront it. You know, it's
Right.
They hint at these things, that there's these things are in the background, you know. So there is some there are some adult issues that they do discuss. If you just keep that in mind. But other than that, if I had to, and it was rainy, and the kids were, you know, beating on our heads with big plastic mallets, turn that on.
Yeah. Yep, I agree. So with that, Justin, do you want to promote your new Facebook page?
Yeah, I am doing Facebook. I'm going to start doing a commercial, the Facebook page. I have a group, and now I'm going to start getting some artwork and some pitches out for some ideas, because the Cardboard Rocket is going to be my production crew for my senior project that I want to direct. So I'm looking to have a producer is the first thing. We can get together working on things. I have materials and we'll do some pitches.
Great. Awesome. I will plug that in the description below. It's the it'll be the Cardboard Rocket on Facebook.
And I will be presenting artworks and treatments and synopses soon. So.
Great. Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at MovieKale. You can also follow the channel that distributes this podcast at KHD Network. And then you can also follow the show on Twitter at The Youth Critic. Thanks, everyone. We'll be back with you very soon for another franchise that, you know, for basically what is part two of like 80s movies getting sequels in the 90s. With the Stakeout franchise.
Whale's still not performing. We're getting deeper into this.
He was too big and too old to be caught in the first place.
Hey, the whale's worth more dead than alive.
They tried to kill him.
Warner Brothers proudly presents...
Let's Free Willy. He's got family out there. I heard him.
The most unexpected friendship of the year.
I gotta look out for Willy, and I gotta do what's best for him. Understand?
If we don't get Willie into water soon, he's gonna die. Nobody steals a whale.
We gotta hurry! He's not doing so good!
Don't let that whale get away!
Go, Willie, go!
The greatest adventure of the summer. Free Willie.